the Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 1st, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. First, we head to New York, where transportation safety officers will see improved working conditions thanks to a newly ratified contract.
The new American Federation of Government Employees and the Transportation Safety Administration agreement creates an engaging workplace for employees. Some points in the agreement include a new grievance and arbitration process to resolve cases quicker and better leave conditions. Mark Schumacher with AFGE Local 2222 says this contract will also help with employee retention.
We have had a lot of attrition through the years. A lot of young employees get into the TSA and then they jump to other agencies because the pay is not commensurate with the difficult work we do, nor are the benefits.
Between late 2022 and mid-2023, TSA attrition rates dropped 61% due in part to a new compensation plan. The contract is significantly longer than the 2020 contract with 37 total articles. It may seem like a lot, but even something like uniform rights can have meaningful impacts on these workers' lives. The new contract is valid for 7 years with an option to be extended for another year if both parties agree. It's currently under review by Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
During the contentious federal budget process, Republican lawmakers introduced legislation to reverse pay increases for TSA workers who weren't transportation safety officers, but it wasn't in the final budget. Now from CBS News, 7 minors were hospitalized with injuries late Saturday night after a mass shooting broke out in downtown Indianapolis. The children and teens, who are between the ages of 12 and 17 years old, each sustained gunshot wounds in the shooting, which happened just after 11 p.m. No suspects have been arrested, but investigators believe more than one weapon was used to carry out the shooting. CBS notes the police report filed after the incident identified 4 boys and 3 girls as victims. All of them, as of this report, were stable. Next to Iowa, where a new report by national researchers says the state is making progress in reforming its juvenile justice system and finding ways to steer kids away from crime long-term.
A new report by a national researcher says Iowa is making progress in reforming its juvenile justice system and finding ways to steer kids away from crime long-term. The state convened a task force last year to study youth crime diversion programs. Youth justice researcher with the Sentencing Project, Dick Mandel, says Iowa is one of the states making progress on addressing juvenile justice issues.
Diversion tends to be cheaper, especially a net savings financially in the long term because these young people are much less likely to come back.
Iowa, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, and Utah now track results of their diversion programs. Supporters say this helps states to make them more effective. This is Public News Service. I know it's early to think about it, but as summer approaches, thousands of kids in Mississippi could go without enough nutritious food when school is out, as the state opted out of the federal Summer Electronic Benefits Transfer Program. More now from Danielle Smith.
Joining what's known as Summer EBT would have provided Mississippi nearly $38 million in federal food assistance to distribute to families. Sonia Williams-Barnes with the Southern Poverty Law Center says Summer EBT helps families to bridge the nutrition gap for kids when schools are out. She adds Mississippi already has the nation's highest childhood poverty rate at 27%.
The Summer EBT program, and it's such an important supplement that provides family with the autonomy and dignity to purchase meals that best meet their children's dietary and nutritional needs. And to have this cut is just horrible and heartbreaking.
The move may be political, as several other Republican-led southern states, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Louisiana, have also declined to participate in Summer EBT.
And environmental activists in the state of New Hampshire are celebrating the planned closure of New England's last coal-fired power plant.
Granite Shore Power says it will close Merrimack Station in Bow by 2028 and turn the site into the state's first renewable energy park with solar power and battery storage systems. Rebecca Beaulieu with the group 350 NH Action says years of litigation and community protests help convince the utility to change course.
The fact that this will now mean the region is going to be coal-free and nobody's power is going to get shut off as a result of that is an important distinction.
Granite Shore Power says it's a voluntary closure, but the plant was the focus of a lawsuit brought by the Sierra Club and Conservation Law Foundation, alleging it repeatedly violated the Clean Water Act. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Finally, from our Deborah Van Fleet, the Nebraska Winnebago Tribes Ho-Chunk Community Development Corporation has been awarded $2 million through Mackenzie Scott's Yield Giving Company.
Some 6,300 nonprofits applied to Yield Giving's open call for grants, and HCCDC was among 279 to receive a top-tier rating. 82 organizations in the next highest tier each received $1 million. HCCDC Executive Director Christine Earth says the tribe has a lot to be proud of, but a lot of work left to do.
We're so excited and we're so thankful for this generous gift for our community. We do have a lot of issues. We have a lot of health disparities, and so a donation like this really is going to make an impact for our entire tribe as a whole.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.